Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson a quit. If the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural form killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class!
Oh, stage clock. It is so funny.
Yeah.
Their puzzlement of it. Hey, everybody. We're saying at clubs, like the few things that I ask for when you're performing somewhere is like stool. I said a clock while you're on stage would be nice. And it's just so funny how many clubs don't do that. On something that like you feel a job that would really benefit from knowing where you're at.
It's amazing how happy I am when a comedy club gets it right, and there's so few basic things you have to get right, and it's amazing how many times they just don't, and you're like, I'd assume if you were open for a month, you'd have probably figured out all this kind of basic stuff.
So stage clock, one out of like eight places have it, so I'll say it's not
crazy.
You're right. I agree. When I have a stage clock, it fucking rules. Like, you
love it.
Countdown, know exactly where I'm at. I get the fucking, when you don't know, and you like, it's kind of nice to get the light out of nowhere sometimes. But if you're actually trying to work on something, which we all always are, but it's actually rare that they have the actual stage clock. So I'm not going like, oh, it needs to be. They haven't really caught on to it. Here's what I'll say that a lot of people have caught on to that I genuinely appreciate, because now it's like one out of maybe four or five clubs don't do this. And the ones that do it, it's so loud and fucking obnoxious. But when they drop checks on you, actually now it's the minority of clubs actually drop checks on the headliner, and they wait till after the show. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Minority of clubs, I'd say the majority.
I think where I'm going, dude, it seems like that check drop happens.
I think that I'm doing a lot more for us by us type of clubs. maybe that's what it is. But I think you're still. They just do a lot of like the A clubs that were like, the Levities and the Improvs. And like, I think they have their systems in place. Whereas like, I don't really work those clubs.
I just think at Lewis's shows, they just don't drop checks. They're just like, these people don't have any money.
Yeah. You know, it's just, this one's on us. He goes, no, what? For $45, you're out of my life. With every customer, they got to feel that, you know what? You're out of my life.
I can tell you, and I'm not trying to complain, because there's some great comedy clubs in this country. The amount of clubs that don't tell you where the light is.
Oh, yeah.
That don't like have a server who regularly just pop every 25, 30 minutes pops into the green room to check on everybody. Does anyone need anything? Which is, by the way, just it's just a great deal for the server, because they just get tipped better than they're going to get tipped on any other table to just come take care of the comics. It's like, it's just helping one of your servers to have them do that. I've had several clubs that just don't even tell you they're starting and start like the intro thing. And it's like, people will be scrambling like, hey, where's the host? They're about to bring them up. Just like things like that, that you're like, yeah, that's kind of wild.
There's a few things. I mean, there's a way to make things run very smooth. Give everybody 5-minute heads up before they go on.
That's a nice one.
It's a goodie. Whatchamacallit? I've seen that.
Lewis. Lewis, like,
especially with me, I'll go outside and smoke weed with like the host or something, and then like you see them like they're like, dude, they just called your name on stage. It's like, why'd you let it get there? Like, why'd you let it get there with not knowing where the host was?
I don't know why, I just want to keep going with this Lewis bit, even though me and Lewis perform at all the same comedy clubs. But Lewis, like, 8 out of 10 of these clubs don't even have a stage.
Yeah.
And they're located in a parking lot.
A lot of them don't have a front door you can just walk through. You have to answer some sort of a riddle.
Ha 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 ha. Oh, hardy har, Lou Louis sucks. 15 years of this shit, folks.
That is fun. The funny one to me was where you're like, you know, a lot of these clubs, they don't even do check drops anymore. It's so, there's so few clubs that don't do a check drop that I know the ones that don't do it. So the Stress Factory's never done it. They always do their things after the shows.
No, I'd say 2 out of 3 clubs that I perform at now have figured out to not drop checks.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
I know Poughkeepsie, they do it after.
Nice.
I'm trying to even think of who else. I don't know.
It doesn't matter, guys.
Yeah, I guess it does not matter.
We don't have to list the clubs that drop checks after.
All right, fine. Fine, Lewis. It's 2 out of 3, but only in your world.
Yeah, and everyone's got a clock.
In my world, dude. In my world, the Spice Girls give you a hand job right before you walk on stage.
Well, some people say
right before you left.
Some people say they look at their phone. They keep their phone on a stool or something. But I sit, so I can't do that. And then
I do that.
How about weird ones where like,
aw, Jay just smashed his phone with his butt.
Yeah, my phone.
Every weekend.
And then the other one I notice is The Comedy Works Denver, they do have a thing, a clock on stage, but it's super down and to the left. So it's like a weird thing, like to check your time. It's like such an obvious look from the audience. It is funny that there's still some elements of comedy that we try to, like, you do a little of the smoke and mirrors still. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Obviously, the deception of just like that everything's off the top of
your head. I used to never, like, I have like major like memory issues. So I used to feel very self-conscious about having like a cheat sheet for like jokes.
Oh yeah.
And then I watched fucking Jeannie Garofalo use one in a special. Then I watched like Nate, like every time he goes on stage headline, when I started going out with him, like he always had like his little index card that he would always go to. And it was like it was just more in my head. Nobody else knows or cares.
Well, you're wrong about that. The Jeannie Garofalo thing, that might be our age difference there.
Well, that was crazy.
I remember when the Jeannie Garofalo thing happened. No, that was not only like crazy, it was like widely scrutinized. Like, it was really, that was like, became like the thing. They would call it like Jeanine Garofalo, even though a lot of people did that. The fact she did it on a special, like, blew
everything. A special is bonkers.
It was nuts. David Lucas does it on his special in his phone.
It's, Jeanine used to do it while she was working out at the clubs, too.
But that's not a mind blow. To me, if someone
is, if
you're in club spots, like, you know, and you're, but also if you're established to some degree, and you know what I mean? Or there's spots that don't matter. Like, I'm all for, like, you're taking that stage time.
Sure. Somebody doing it in a showcase 12-minute set is a little bit annoying. I remember DeRosa used to do that. And I used to be like, DeRosa, it's 12 minutes. You can't memorize your 12-minute set.
DeRosa used to do the thing. Remember, DeRosa would go the number. Remember, you'd go call out a number, and he would try that joke number.
Ugh. DeRosa is so funny and so awesome, and I really love him in spite of all of those things about him.
Yeah. I remember watching, and this was totally, it was like younger comics. I can't even remember who it was, but there were a few people used to do, like, younger comics. And I think they were almost like trying to be like that. Like, they were trying to be like DeRosa or Jeanine or something like that, but they would do it. And it would be for like 10 minute sets where they were just doing the same 10 minute set I had seen them do a million times.
But now in between, like, all people are laughing, they just hold up a piece of paper and go,
yeah, like, well, it's like a crutch. When you do the whole thing where you go,
as if it's new, as if it's a new thing I'm just working on.
This may not work. It's new. Just so you know, but you know, you're part of the process, kids.
Yeah. But it's like, no. Oh yeah.
The involving that we're part of this thing together is
like, okay, Chris Scopo.
It's such a crush. It's such a crush. Oh, dude, what are some other great, just like obvious? Oh, it has to be ones that we had ourselves. Like, what are the crutch thing? Also, getting made fun of them. I remember, when it's one of those things when you don't know people that well enough, and you're like, hey, you're not at the level to be fucking with me. And who was it? It was a young, Judah Friedlander and somebody, maybe Brian Scolaro. And when I would perform at the Boston Comedy Club, there was like a mantle behind you. Mm-hmm. And I would put my arm up, you know, try to be casual. I'd keep my arm up on the panel. And I guess when I would talk, that my hand would, like, you know, I would talk with my hand and it would be up like that. And then just these two not important to me strangers, you know, they didn't like hold any value. There was
this,
like,
is Judah and Brian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is,
who, by the way, both were established at that time.
They were working comics in the city, but no one had it. It was before Judah popped with like the TV spots and everything. And
before the rise and fall of Judah Friedlander,
1 year rise and fall.
Love Judah, but he's such a weirdo now. He shows up with a mask and he's got like wild hair. He looks like a fucking werewolf that's afraid of COVID.
I haven't seen him in years. I saw him a couple months ago
and talked with him, and I gotta be honest, it was a little uncomfortable just because like I think he's a germaphobe, and he's living like he performs under two masks.
I forgot that he was a germaphobe. That's right. I did.
He performs with two masks on, but it wasn't whatever it was. Judah, there was a time that Judah could have busted my balls, and I would have been like, it's Judah Friedlander, man. What are you gonna, you know, it's like, I'm happy he's just talking to me. This was not then. This is before all that, before Brian got the show with Pam Anderson and everything. This is just people, they were working, and I was brand new. And just them making fun of me like that. I remember that thing. I was like, I'm going to go fuck these motherfuckers. Like, there's some side of me. It wasn't like that. They're busting my balls, like where you just go, you know, when someone's making fun of you doing this, you're confident enough. If somebody was like, hey, Jay, on stage, you were flapping your hand a bunch. Like, I wouldn't even think twice. I'm like, okay. Do you know what I mean? Or like, or I'd have some funny thing back like that you do on stage.
I will say it does annoy the fuck out of me. It's very few people. It shouldn't.
I thought you were saying that me flapping my hand annoys the fuck out of you.
And I hate when you flap your hand.
I should just be able to support my friend, but I can't.
I'll tell you, it drives me fucking nuts.
No, you know what drives me bananas? Not when you do it, Jay, but almost anybody else that sits down on stage drives me borderline. Well, not Zach, because he's dying, but Zach, that's not a choice.
But Zach's not on a stool. Zach's in supportive undergarment.
Zach's doing this new thing where he performs in a hospital bed.
But like, there's certain people that like sit on stage, and it's just whatever it is. It just, there's something about the posture of like, it's maybe a young guy. Wouldn't anybody established? I wouldn't care. I've seen Jim Norton once in a blue do it. If it's an established comic, it's actually let me rephrase it. Oh yeah, literally a fucking guy who's like featuring for me in Toronto for no reason, like sitting down, like there's just something about it. You're like, when you're the opener,
yeah, you kind of do this, doing that.
Well, you're just kind of going like, here, sit down. I gotta spit some shit for you guys right now. Your whole job when you're opening is to set up the headliner. It's not so you have this moment, so you're the fucking man. And there is some of that. You're practicing being the man ultimately, but it just does kind of rub me the wrong way when an opener sits down.
100%.
Definitely when an opener does it, but it is. But again, I think with almost any, unless like Patrice was relatively established when he started sitting down, I certainly wasn't. And like, so I'm saying like, there's probably was some element of that that I had to go through. It's like, right. I'm sure I did it unearned when I did
You had been doing comedy for a while and you were really good at it. Like,
I was also,
you may not have been that like successful in some ways, but you were a very strong
Jay, comic. When we met you, you were already the guy that was closing all the shows. Like, I produced shows. I started producing shows before I did comedy. Yeah. So I my lens of looking at you was very different than probably most of your other friends.
Also, at that point, Jay was not sitting down, but he wasn't standing. He was like halfway between standing and sitting. He was at a 45 degree angle.
I did wall sits.
You did lean comedy. No, we all did one leg up against the wall and did a Dave Attell impression. That's what everyone started out doing.
Like,
and then you eventually slid down that wall and just took your seat.
I followed Patrice is what I did. There's my two influences, David Tell and Patrice. So anytime I had to stand, I'm leaning, and anytime I where there was a stool, I'd sit. But almost doing that, it was funny though. Like the person you're talking about, Lewis, it's funny because when he started doing sitting down, this is such a funny story. Again,
you remember you told me this.
So we were he worked on a gig with me, and I flip flopped him and the host each night because it was two shows, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna have you feature one night and then host the next night, and then he was like, okay, and then the night it was his time to host, I was like, all right, dude, they're gonna go start the show. He goes, you know, I think at first he was kind of doing like, are you sure you want me to feature the thing or to host? And I was like, yeah, it's fine. You can host. And he goes, all right. He goes, I hope this crowd's ready for a host that sits on a stool. And I was like, well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
He was like, what do you mean? I go, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm like, I'll never do that. Do whatever you want. I go, I'm just saying, like, that's a weird, like, I've like, you know, there's times where within my career sitting on a stool I've had to host several things, do you know what I mean? And when I host something, I certainly wouldn't sit down. I think that's rude to the show. That's not the energy you got to create as a host. If you're a host, you're going to be staying. At one point, I was going to be before Fully Loaded happened that first year. It was a scheduling fucking flip that made it not happen. I was going to be the host that year, and part of like the thing in my head that was going to be annoying about that was I was like, oh man, I have to like really like do like an energy show now versus like,
right?
What I do, and I'm like, but that's the job. So it's like such a weird thing. Like we were saying, Lewis, same thing. It's like feature, like sitting. Like, I mean, it's like, again, it's like it comes on the thing. It's like if you're a virtual, like unknown to a situation, it can look weird. I would think that. But like, you know, when I opened for Rogan, the time I was like, I sat still. If I did stuff with a tell, I'd always like
It's
stuff. But
just it's different. Like we're
I
talking about
know.
like the levels here. It's like he's having a headliner that does. He's booking Big J and his whole thing to entertain his crowd. You're not a nameless fucking dude who's there to just fucking feed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when you're opening for Rogan, it's almost as if, even if someone in the crowd doesn't know you, the fact that you're there is Joe telling them that you're
You're a
somebody
guy.
They're
worthy
seeing
of
three
seeing.
headliners for 15 minutes before they see Joe Rogan. You know, that's just, you know, and
Yeah,
that's
it was
just
like
sort of
Russell
like,
Peters was hosting.
yeah, exactly. And that's almost like it's appropriate for like that situation. And honestly, I'm sort of, I preface it by saying like I'm probably being fucking,
There's not
you know.
actually any like objective metric to it, but
No.
there are just like these things where it's a weird dude. I'll tell you the other
If you talk to
one.
Nate Bargatze, he'd be like, "Man, you're wearing shorts on stage, Jay. That's crazy,
He goes,
man."
I mean, you guys are out there doing comedy. You're not even wearing dress socks.
You know what it is, Lewis? You know what it is? You know what it is, Lewis? I think too. It's the idea of find, like, you can kind of tell when someone's genuinely finding like what their comfort and their fucking delivery and thing is versus concocting one. And it feels a little concocted. Am I right? When you see that, you're like, oh, this is a concocted thing for
Well,
some
there's
reason.
also like there's just something about like comedy in general is a lot of smoke and mirrors, and like when you see it, you see it, and like if you see a comic twice, which I this happens a lot, people come see the early show and they stay for the late show a lot, and I've gotten less self-conscious about it. But the reason we're self-conscious is because you kind of go like, oh, I see. That literally, even like the way he cocked his head is choreographed. The way that he,
That's
you
what it
know,
is. It's
there was a
the
crowd
little
work moment
piece.
that he did twice where it seemed very much like in the moment, people were like, oh, that was like written crowd work. And the guy we're talking about in particular, like he's never released anything. So he's doing his truly his best 25 minutes, just like, but in a way where it's like it's his show and it just kind of comes off as like a little bit pompous and like a little bit whatever. And his check still hasn't cleared. Anyway. And he said he was like, have I ever? He was like, dude, have I ever fucked around with money? I was like, specifically, Jay told me that you fucked around with his money. Yes. He was like, what? Oh, that's messed up, man. I was like, is it?
Yes, it is messed up. That's the point. It is messed up. I'll say this, and I've had this happen a few times, and I know it's almost never that they mean anything by it, but it's
No.
just like a big don't do if you're hosting a show. And I always bring Rob with me to feature, but I always get a local host for the show. And there'll be a thing where like, you know, when they turn on the audience, and I don't even mean like viciously turn on the audience, but like anything where like if a joke doesn't get a pop, you blame the crowd. Don't do that within the first minute of a show. I've seen that happen several times where like they just don't get the reaction they wanted, and then they just start going at the crowd, and you're like, hey, dude, like this is my
Well,
crowd
this
that just
guy that
got
we've been
here.
talking about, one time me and Dave Smith were
I was
co-headlining like
so furious.
a Chicago show, I think it was.
It's the most
And
angry I've ever been with
so
anyone
this guy,
opening for me.
he's hosting the show. So he does the whole thing. He has me and Dave co-headlining, and he comes out, he sits down, you know, does his whole like, you know, let me tell you guys something. And then he starts
You did
trashing the
the
audience.
cigarette first.
Oh. But no, he started
By the
trashing
way,
the
just to
audience
be
for
clear here
being there
too.
to see a Luis J. Gomez, Dave Smith co-headlining show. He's like, you came to see Luis J. Gomez, and Dave's like rolling his eyes that they're there to see us. It was bonkers.
Dude, I'll tell you exactly how it went down because it was specific toward me.
Oh, it was towards you. I don't know. I felt it, Dave.
You
That
did too.
Miami?
Yes. No. No. But it was it was at a point, this is like maybe 2016 or something like this. So like I started stand up, I think, in 2006. So I've been doing stand up for 10 years at this point. And we are just starting to get a little bit of traction with like Legion of Skanks as a little bit of an audience to it and stuff like that. And we're just at a point where me and Lewis co-headlining are selling out a room. You know what I mean? For one night. Together. Like, it's not really that big of a deal, but for us at the time, this is like really cool. We're at a real comedy club that is sold out with our fans excited to see us. And so he's opening the show and he goes, the first thing he said, the first line was fine. He goes, how many of you guys listen to the Legion of Skanks podcast? And it gets a big pop from the room. And me and Lewis are watching upstairs. And I remember still in the moment, we're still new enough to this world of something you could call success that we're both like, yo, that was pretty cool. Like Legion of Skanks just got a big pop from the room. So then one person screams out in the crowd. He goes, part of the problem. I'm like, ah, that's pretty cool. And then he goes, oh, you're here for part of the problem. What do you want to hear? Jokes about monetary policy? Yeah, that probably sounds like a lot of fun. And this is like trashing the idea. And you're just like, dude, like the show hasn't started yet. We're letting you perform in front of our sold out crowd. And you're mocking a guy who was excited to be here to see me. And you're saying what, like my comedy couldn't possibly be funny. Dude, I'm so much better at this than you. Like, what are you kidding? Are you, you've seen my comedy a million times. We've been on so many shows together. Like, what are you doing, dude? It's not like, and you could bust my balls at some point, but like that we're in the first 20 seconds of the show.
Oh, buddy.
This is insane. Those things
are so great. I said I get this a lot too, which I've told you guys is makes me laugh, is when they'll book like when I use local, they'll book like sometimes someone who's like, I've had this settled to me a lot. Dave, you were with me. The first time I remember hearing this was actually in Detroit when we went to go do that Royal Oak, Michigan gig at the Comedy Castle.
Mark Ridley's.
Yeah. The guy was like, man, they never let me work here because I'm so like raw and dirty. But like they said, you know, it's your week and I can do it. And then he was one of the guys, but this happens a lot. There's several people.
This is the first road gig I ever did, by the way.
But this is one of the funniest, like the cop outs when something doesn't go good, when they just like, again, when it's just like they string together dirty words and that's like the extent of it. And then they're like, shit.
The Louis J. Gomez special.
They go, yeah. they'll go like, shit, if you guys didn't like that, you guys shouldn't have come to a Big J show. You know what I mean? Like, guys, you're at a Big J show and you don't want to hear about fucking me biting off baby clits. I mean, like, what? Guys, you're at a Big J show.
Biting off baby clits is just already made it funnier. You can't even try to be unfunny, Jay.
It literally can't. Even Jay doing that was just a funnier, terrible thing.
Biting off baby clits is a great alliteration. It's a great visual.
Yeah, it's not everything about it. Yeah, it's not a good example. That's what you did there was hilarious, Jay. You got to think of something
nice. Good name for a post-punk band.
Jay, turn it off, please.
Dude, there's me and you used to talk about this all the time because I get, you know, like you're a filthy comedian and I'm a very political comedian, that like we both get it in different ways, the same version of that, where someone will like make either a filthy joke or a political joke, and if it doesn't get it, they'll be like, oh, I guess you guys just aren't into this thing. And you're like, no, dude, no. Don't lump me in with what you just did. They just didn't laugh at your joke. I'm not a part of this with you.
They give you a warning. They're almost like, well, I mean, you guys came to a Dave Smith show, so I don't know. Dude, goes, if you're not going to laugh at that, I guess you're going to laugh at nothing.
Dude, I remember, by the way, I'm just remembering this now. That was my first road gig ever, was in Detroit, and this was in 2008. It was right after the big auto companies were all like announced they were bankrupt, and we went that weekend and it was amazing. It was like one of the best, like just the shows were electric because everything was collapsing, and I don't know, it was a good moment for comedy.
It's insane. I was never ever allowed back.
well look, so this is what we were also, it was a big room. It's got to be like 350 seats or something like that. So I had never performed in front of a crowd that size before. I had done, you know, Stand Up New York and like the clubs in the cities, but I had never, or a couple clubs in the city.
Well, it's funny because a room that big at that time, Jay, you weren't, you know, you were responsible for 20 people, 30 people in the crowd, maybe, right? Something like that. But it's funny, like you actually answered the question yourself. Like, they never invited you back. It's like, yeah, they didn't need you. They were selling out by themselves, and they gave
it was a papered room.
It was a papered room for sure. But it's not just that. And why everyone accepted the paper was because we thought it was weird. Me and Dave went to that weekend really believing we're like, this is going to be an absolute.
This might be terrible.
I can't believe this is the week the big three just fucking went down. The whole car industry, and then people were telling us over the course of the day when we were there that like. Every job pretty much in town does revolve around those things, even if it's not like the actual factories. Like every job's something to do with
everything
it.
Everything else is like, oh, you're like, you're selling tires to General Motors or you're doing this to that.
So the bagel shop literally feeds everyone that works.
Right. So they were like, and we went there. So what, me and Dave almost had like a, well, then why is this place so packed if everyone's broke? He goes, because they just hit like, it was a arms throw up, like, fuck it. We need to laugh and do something.
And the crowds are hot. Now they do tell us, if you, remember, I've been doing comedy about a year and a half at this point. And they were like,
Dave's delivery at that time, Dave was always very funny, but Dave had the slowest delivery. I remember, Dave, your delivery when you were really early in comedy, it was like you were hanging on every word and you were waiting for you to get the next word out.
What would happen is that I was a little bit of a natural at stand up. So like I got good within like 5-6 months, I could have passed for like a 3-year comedian. Now at the time that felt like I'm awesome at this, but looking back at it, you're like, oh no, I was fucking stunk, but I stunk a little bit less than you're supposed to stink at that period of time. So if my energy, if the crowd was good and responded well, my energy would be fine. But if they didn't, my energy would just like come down with them. I would just like get quieter and worse. It was but these guys were electric. It was fucking easy. It was just like, oh fuck, they're just like, the crowd's on fire. So it was, the shows weren't really good, but we were told going in that this guy does not book dirty comics and that the owner of the club hates any type of blue comedy. Yeah. So right away I was like, well, I'm like not really very dirty, like I curse incessantly, but I could kind of try to tone down the cursing. But I was like, but Jay is like, the guy you booked is like a filthy comic. Like that's his thing. He's the best at it, but there's no cleaning up what Jay does. Like it's going to be filth. And so whatever, we go and the shows are, every show is sold out. Every show is great. The crowds are just electric. It was a lot of fun. And then at the end of the weekend, we meet the owner who they all told us hates dirty comedy. And he could not have been more of a filthy old man. He walked into the green room and just started telling us stories about doing blow and banging hookers in the fucking and like these like raunchy fucking stories.
We're
like, me and Jay, and he was great. We're just laughing. Me and Jay are like making eye contact with each other as he's telling these stories. Like, this is the guy who they said has a problem with swearing on stage. And then they never invited Jay back. So I guess he did. I guess he did not care for the film.
He didn't give a shit off stage. His business is clean comedy. He's a scumbag like the rest of us. We're men. I actually like that. I appreciate that like philosophy in life. Like he's like, I don't give a shit. He's like, I'm that dude. He was like, but my fucking business, the reason I can paper the room with 350 people.
Well, again, that was the thing. Like those crowds were great, which was awesome. When I went and did the Comedy Magic Club for the first time, they kind of said to me, like, I'd already been doing this so
they're
long.
Like, your comedy's good, but can you just get your magic a little bit better?
Yeah, can you get your magic game up? No, what he said was, they said to me that when they offered me to, like, when I was in L.A., they were like, oh, come do spots at the Comedy Magic Club. And I was like, no, I go, look, I just don't want to, like, I know it's a squeaky clean club. That's like the thing there. So I don't want to like go up there and do, I don't want to. And they were like, no. They were like, you you can do whatever you want. Like, you know, we trust you. You're a professional. You're able to do whatever you want to do. And then I was like, okay. And I said, yes. But when you go there, it's like, you also don't want to be the guy who's like, I don't know, there's some kind of challenge to it at that point then almost, you know, when they say that, they're like, no, you could be dirty, I guess, if you have to. And you're like,
come on. I was, Jay, I really fucking feel like you, I said this to you a long time ago, it'd be fun. Even just, everyone does like short specials. You should just do a 15-minute squeaky clean special. Like actually squeaky clean. You're going to have to record 3 or 4 hours to pull the 15 minutes. It needs to be a 4 or 5 night event.
Baby clip biter. That's my first subject.
Baby clip biting. No, but it's clean.
Oh, yeah, but clean. Yeah. It's completely
By the
clean.
way, is this noise picking up bad on my microphone here? No? All right, good.
I don't know. No.
I think my landscapers just showed up and it's crazy how noisy it is in here, but it's if it's not picking up on the microphone, all good. Sorry.
So my landscaper, I didn't fire him. That's not exactly what happened. Like, what happened?
Well, a fine gentleman we are.
Well, I'm just trying to remember why did I stop using him? Like, I think I was on the road and he was just like, I had to pay him and so I ended up paying him. Like, it was like a couple months of like back pay. And then it was, do you want me to come and do like the winter prep? And I didn't get back to him after that. And like, he just didn't show up. So it just fell off. So like my yard was covered in leaves for like the past couple weeks now.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me you had a problem like this last year.
Yeah. This is my life. This is my ADHD is I will somehow fire my leaf guy for no reason. I still want a leaf guy. There's no reason to get rid of this leaf guy, but whatever it is, I just don't have one now. So my sister right now, she needs money. So she's raking my leaves.
Your sister's your leaf guy now.
I paid my sister $100 to rake my leaves. But this just happened moments ago. As we're talking about leaves, so funny. She texted me. This is my sister. She goes, just now at 3:10 p.m., 5 minutes ago, she goes, if your piece of shit neighbor who just came out here with a leaf blower blows one more goddamn fucking thing this way, I'm going to lose my mind. He and I will fight. While we're talking fucking comedy clubs, I wrote to Jenny, please don't start any shit with my neighbors. She goes, I will dump these leaves right in his fucking lawn. 100, 100. I was like, please don't. Well, I'll be very upset.
Guys, no need to do a genetic test. She's your sister, all right?
Save yourself the mouth swab.
It's like, how are you going to start problems for me with my neighbors? You can't do that.
So funny. Y'all going to go fucking take a shit on your neighbor's front yard.
Lewis, I'm really glad that you're doing well in life, because if you were doing terrible in life, this would be the exact reason why we couldn't hire you to clean our leaves.
I would love to be your leaf
problem
guy.
You would bring.
Start a shit with your neighbors? Hey, yes. I'm cleaning leaves here.
Why don't you get a leaf blower? They look so fun.
They do look really fun. I didn't know I was going to hire. Well, then the leaf guy, I said, was
they
like,
are fun.
I was like, I texted him the other day. I was like, well, come clean up my yard. This cocksucker is trying to charge me $600. To like,
we're not a very big yard.
It's not
like
a very
crazy
big,
amount of space.
It's crazy. So I'll do
it. It's like the winter shutdown, though, the total job.
I guess. I don't know. They already did something earlier in the winter where they turned off the fucking
sprinklers
and like all this other shit. So it's like now it's like the leaves. They're going to fucking blow leaves.
Get a leaf blower, dude.
$600 is crazy. I want a leaf blower and I want a snow blower. As well, like one of those push fucking.
I got
the problem
both,
is,
dude,
you have both, you do it yourself, Dave.
No, I don't. I have a leaf blower, but I
make more into it.
No, not that.
So I'm on team Dave. I'm on team Dave with this. I want to have all the tools and doodads you could have, but I want the people to come do it, and I want them to do it with their equipment.
Well, you,
what do you want to have the stuff then?
You got a big
because
property,
on the
other
chance that one day if it's super leafy outside. And it's not the landscaper time, I can go, you know what? I'm going to go throw the old leaf blower on.
This is going to be something that never gets used.
There's things, dude. It's when you have, first off, when you have a big property, leaf collection is a big job. Like even with a leaf blower, it's a huge thing to do, like my whole property. So no, I don't do that. But it's very convenient. Even if like things get in the garage, leaves or whatever, like it's in, you just blow it all out with that. And then if you want to do like a little thing, you can. The snow blower I have to use that, because fucking if there's a big snow, and I'm on the top of a mountain, so we get snow all the time, and if there's a big snow up here,
Dave,
like, we got to get the car out.
Dave is actually the Grinch.
Yeah. Dave, do you ever use a leaf blower when if your wife's ever complaining at you, you just blow it in her mouth and make her fucking her mouth go big? Like,
Dave, do you ever snow blow your wife?
That would be a lot more severe than the leaf blower. Snow blower is going to really chop you up and spit you out that hole.
Snow blow should be the name of someone doing coke off your dick and then sucking your dick.
Your mother was a snow blower. Was a
trademark.
Your mother was a snowblower was what Johnny Five said to the other robots in Short Circuit. when he was, yeah, which is a great diss for a robot. Like your mother was a snowblower.
And I'm telling you, that was in there. That was a kid's movie, and that was thrown in there for the adults.
Yep, of course. You didn't get it as a kid. I remember just all the time being like, your mother is a snowblower.
I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but that's what was always kind of fun to go back to those fucking movies like that had like for a kid, not for kids necessarily, but you just thought you understood it and then realized there were so many jokes you didn't. So the one that always gets me of not getting the joke when I was younger, and now it's probably one of the funniest jokes in the movie Airplane. You guys all right?
I'm literally looking up adult jokes in kids' movies because we don't have producers here, and I was assuming Natalie's.
No, just looking. When I started talking, you both just heads just went down.
No. I'm listening, but I'm. It was related to adult jokes.
I got in you. Kids movies. Whatchamacallit, the line of the thing when she was like, "Do you have anything? Do you have anything light to read?" To the stewardess, and she was like, She goes, well, I have this magazine. And she was like, anything lighter? And she goes, oh, I do have this pamphlet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends.
That's funny.
Pamphlet.
What movie was that in?
It's an Airplane. And it's just a joke. Right. When I was younger, it never made anything. If it makes sense.
But that's not a kid's movie, though. That was just an adult joke in an adult movie that a kid was watching that you didn't get.
I don't know why. Correct, I just saw I'm saying, this
but it's funny to go
clip.
Back now. That's why I said it really wasn't for kids. But like I said, but it's a joke. Like I thought I got the whole movie, and I didn't. Naked Gun.
I remember as a kid. Oh, Nice Beaver, and they would redo the. I didn't get Nice Beaver when I was a kid. I remember not getting it. I remember the one that I loved so much. I just saw a clip of this the other day, but it was from which I did get as a kid. But it was from Naked Gun 33 1/3 when he's like they break out of prison together. With the guy's mom, like, helps him. And he goes, I forget exactly what he says, but he goes, I got the feeling she didn't like having me around. It wasn't anything she said, just something I could pick up on. And he's in the back seat, and she just looks at him through the rear view mirror, and she goes, I don't know why, as a kid, I thought this was the funniest joke I'd ever heard. He just goes, like a midget at a urinal. I was going to have to stay on my toes. It's so funny.
Well, I thought the edgiest thing in the fucking world, but I saw Blazing Saddles very young too, which is pretty fucking edgy in the grand scheme. But an Airplane, to me, the best thing was the idea. I understood the concept, and I was so like happy to tell other people that I understood the concept of when he went to the Peace Corps. Shouldn't go to the Peace Corps, and he's teaching the black tribesmen how to play basketball. Uh-huh. Just like everyone's like a globetrotter immediately. he goes over and he goes, I think they're getting the hang of it. And it's one of those like almost like you said when James did the thing with the gay people in the movie Lewis. Like I always had a thing when I'd see that part where you'd be like, yeah, I know what they mean. Black people are good at sports, they're better than white people at sports.
those movies hold up.
Yeah, Spaceballs is one that if you go back and watch, I haven't watched it in a minute, but I bet you there's a ton of like jokes that you don't get references.
Because I was young when I saw Spaceballs,
and it's also so slapsticky and so jokey. It was like a joke heavy movie. It's like joke. There's probably tons and tons of shit. I mean, I remember like as a kid, I didn't understand a Jewish princess. She doesn't look Jewish. Like I didn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand that, but like what a Jewish princess was. Like I didn't get the reference at all because Jews weren't just like integrated in like my the first time I met a Jew or remember meeting a Jew, I was in the sixth grade. No, I was in the sixth grade. There was a girl in my class. We were in art class and I had black construction paper and I cut it into a coil. So it was like, you know, like springy. And then I put it up here and I was like, look, I'm a Jew. And then this girl, Barbara Ann Wittenberg, was in my class and she goes, I'm Jewish. And I was like, okay.
I don't even know why it was insulting, though.
I guess it wasn't. I guess it wasn't really insulting, but it kind of was because I was just being like, look, I'm different and dumb.
Oh, Spaceballs, I know is going to have your Schwartz is bigger than mine.
Yeah, but I think I got that as a kid.
Well, were they also like holding it at their dicks, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was probably a lot There's probably a bunch of lists. Natalie, I did see that list. Thank you very much. Thank you for not, I assumed you were eating Cooter and not producing the show. So thank you for paying attention. That was on me, actually.
Not cool, Lewis.
Oh, there's two things. There's two things. There's that you got the BuzzFeed one.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I did go through that list while we were, and it's just a lot of shit that like, it's the list is a little bit too big and the references aren't like, they're not movies that we grew up with. They're like kids movies now almost.
Okay.
So it's like Madagascar and like
which
Cars.
So, SpongeBob. Like, SpongeBob really made sure that there was stuff for adults in there.
Yeah, all of the movies that we were like, really, because it was also like a lack of content. So I think there's a lot more. So back then, a movie would come out. There's like seven fucking movies, and that's all everyone in the country was doing. Is that week was seeing one of these movies. There's 13 channels on TV. You had to have a movie that worked for the whole family, that had to have dad interested, mom interested. Now it's like kids have 75 new things coming out every week, whether it's a video game, a movie, a TV show, Netflix, Roblox, whatever. I have 25 Netflix shows or streaming shows. So it's almost like they don't really need to like, and it's also people are a little bit more sensitive to shit like that. But like, yeah, I mean, it was like almost everything, every kid's movie back in the day, if you probably watch it now, had shit for adults.
That wasn't very long ago in my memory, like definitely within the time I've been doing comedy, that like you just saw the movies that came out. Like everyone, even if I didn't give a fuck about seeing them, it was like, I'd just see like I saw the movie Pearl Harbor. Didn't really care, but it was like,
I saw Pearl Harbor in the movie theater.
Me too. It's like,
and enjoyed it.
You're like, that's the new blockbuster. It's out. You just went and kind of saw everything, because now it's like, it's amazing the amount of huge movies that I've never, ever, because I'm just,
there's
like,
too much to do. You, I don't, can scroll, it's like,
I
on
don't
your phone.
I don't care about it. And it won't be one day the only thing that's on, because I could watch anything.
Well, now you can scroll on your phone. Never see now it. You can watch 25 Netflix shows. Now there's all of these different things. Back in the day, Friday night would come around. You're like, what else? You're like, I'm going to go to Chili's and see a movie. That's all there is to do.
Or is it you rent? I mean, when you rent, it's like, what's the new release? Like Patch Adams. I'm getting Patch Adams. What's the other new release? Yeah, it's like, it genuinely didn't matter. It was just like whatever was out.
Funny. Yeah. And that's why, like, I haven't seen a lot of these movies. I kind of like seeing, they're all kind of good. What did I just watch the other day? I watched another Ben Affleck movie. I'm watching a lot of Ben Affleck movies. And I watched The Town, but then I watched another one afterwards.
Gone Baby Gone, he directed, which is so good.
It was great. Great movie.
The guy can direct. Does he have a drinking problem? I think so. But he stays crushing hot ass. Although I was never...
Oh, no, Gone Girl. I watched Gone Girl.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Wait, pretty good.
I think I might have been confusing that one with what Jay said. Wait, Gone Girl, that's the one where his wife like fakes her death.
Whoa! Spoiler, that's a whole movie today. Jesus Christ.
I mean, oh no, it doesn't matter. Old. If you're watching anything right now, that Sherry Papini story is becoming prominent again because of like Hulu documentaries and shit that like that's what the movie is. I don't know if the movie's based on that or she tried to do it afterwards. It's like the midget girl. Like, is it an adult evil midget, or is it a little kid? The Natalia Grace thing. It's like the same thing. It's like you really don't know,
dude. I've dated a couple of Gone Girls in my day.
Sherry Papini did that to her husband, and then it's always so great when they have to, like, the interrogation of them having to tell the husband, like, they're like, you know, when they do, like, can you imagine being in the room with your chick and then the cops going like, you want to do this in front of him? And she's like, what? And he's like, we could do this in front of him, where you can ask him to go, and we could talk to just you. And she's like, I don't, why would you have to talk? Babe, you know what? I guess, like, you go out in the other room. Like, they're like, I don't know what these guys are really talking about, but I guess, yeah, go in the other room. I was watching the one earlier today about another one, dude. I mean, a really hot, it seems, at least in the pictures, teacher fucked a 13-year-old student while other 11-year-olds watched, and they are making this thing. The father, when he called, they have a video of the father calling the teacher.
Pull it up, please.
Yeah, there's a
father. I haven't seen this at all.
It's the father calling the teacher, and he's fucking cursing her out. And then her husband gets on the phone.
No.
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm gonna tell you something, motherfucker. I'm gonna come and beat the shit." And the guy's like, look, she made a mistake. It was just text. She's a great teacher. The husband's being a bitch. And all this emotion, high emotion around it. And then they have they blur him so you can't see him, but they just have like showing the interview of the kid, the 13-year-old boy. And it's like, because the dad's like, he's traumatized. You scarred him for life. And when he's telling the story, he's like, yeah, that was the first time. And they were like, she would make us watch this TV show every day and then say we had good cover with her desk and I would just get behind her. And they're like, would that happen a lot? And he was like, yeah, like every day. Like, nothing about his dude. Like, they're like, you ruined his childhood. And he's just like, yeah. He's like, my wrist is a little sore from high-fiving people, but besides that, I mean, it's so funny.
There was another one. A father just got arrested for knowing about it. It was a 16-year-old son and the teacher, and the father knew about the relationship and never reported it. But that's almost a little weird. Like, 16 is like legal age of consent in New Jersey, right? So if my 16-year-old son was fucking an adult, I don't think that I would report. I wouldn't report. I would still maybe, like, if it's a teacher and I knew about it, it'd be fucked up. But, like, am I going to fucking call the cops on my son and his teeth? Like, what is going on?
Well,
like,
the saying the thing of, like, the son, this all goes down. But, like, the woman just, like, I mean, getting caught in this thing is so, and the husband, to me, it's her husband is the most fascinating.
Before you pull the video up, Nally, but let's do plugs real quick because we got a little time left here. But yeah, this is good. Natalie, you pull it. Don't just put it in the chat. Actually, pull it up for us to watch on the show.
Wait, yeah. While you do plugs, actually, let's see if I can get you the exact title.
Video. Yeah, go to my website, lewisofskanks.com, to come see me on the road. I got a brand new tour that's going to be starting in 2025. The Bring Five Friends Tour, where I challenge you to bring five friends to every one of my shows. High fives and pictures for all the people that do that. But this year, to round off this year, December 11th, we have the Regs at the Gramercy Theater. Those tickets are selling fast. I'll be headlining the Dojo Comedy in Morris Plains, New Jersey on December 12th. On December 13th, Friday night, I'll be in the EMAS Theater in EMAS, Pennsylvania. And then I'm going down to Austin, Texas, December 20th through 22nd to do some shows down in Austin. January is rolling right around for my new tour. I have Rosemont, Illinois, North Charleston, South Carolina, Naples, Florida, and more. So just go to my website, lewisofskanks.com. Make sure you guys subscribe. Check out my other podcasts, The Regs, The Lewis and Zach Show, and Story Wars, your favorite game show, available everywhere you guys find podcasts.
What? Dudes.
What happened?
I got the video on YouTube and I copied the link and I put it in the chat.
Oh, you were that? I thought it was actual good news you got for us. I was actually excited. I so rarely get good news.
That is good news. I figured out on my very own how to copy a link from YouTube and put it in the chat.
Are you on a computer?
Yeah.
That was difficult for you to figure out.
No, I did it so quick. I'm so proud of myself.
Well, I just feel like great that job, is bro. Maybe the, I mean, how could you not know how to do that?
No. Lewis, it's a Christmas miracle.
I'm sorry. You're right.
An early Christmas miracle this year, guys. Oh, guys, I'm off for December not traveling, but I'll, you know, doing podcasts and stuff. But I will be back on the road starting in January, going all over the place. Bozeman, Montana, Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Key West, Houston, Boston, Chicago, San Diego, Appleton, Wisconsin, Tacoma, Spokane, Tampa. Also got dates in Denver. They're not up on the site yet, but should be up in the next few days.
Damn,
a bunch of stuff. I'm going to be all over the place in 2025. ComicDaveSmith.com for all of the ticket links. Of course, partoftheproblem.com to go support my other podcast. My comedy specials are up on YouTube for free. And yeah, that's all.
What a king.
Big J Comedy.
I agree.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. If you listen to this, maybe there's some tickets for Sunday left here, but I don't think so. I think we're all pretty sold out in Philadelphia. But I still have all kinds of dates coming up, everyone. I'm going to be in Stamford, Connecticut next weekend. It's my birthday weekend. Sunday the 8th, I'm going to be doing two shows, Stamford, Connecticut at the New York Comedy Club. After that, I will be in West Palm Beach, St. Louis, Missouri for Helium out there. The one weekend I'm doing Providence, the 26th and 27th, February 28th, I'll be at the Wilbur in Boston, and then the 29th, right back in Providence for one more show. Cleveland, the new year, Phoenix, Arizona, Miami, Shiprock's coming up, all kinds of fun stuff. I think I'm going to tell Netflix to go suck my fucking cock.
Fuck them, dude.
I'm going to tell Netflix to fucking blow me.
Fuck them, dude.
I'm going to pull these specials and put them on YouTube ASAP.
Well, that's what Schultz did, right?
What?
Wasn't he it was going to be a Netflix special, and then like...
Oh, no, it was Amazon.
Whatever it was at the end, the deal didn't work out. And it was like, you know what, dude? They're just not edgy enough for me.
Yeah, we said they had it, then they weren't going to release because it was too... So I don't know what he said. I'm not pulling any kind of a game. I feel like Netflix wasn't interested at all, apparently, because no one said a word.
No, I'm trying to save face.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell them to go fuck themselves.
Need to do that. You can just keep the relationship for the next special. Probably a better idea. Fucking cunts. You're good to me, Netflix.
Can I tell you something? You understand something, Lewis. I did all the hoops they told me to do for the last, I mean, now with COVID and everything, like 6-7 years for an hour special that I was told I would have gotten about 3-4 years ago. And then I did it myself because they were taking too long. And now it's like I gave them these specials done and no one's gotten word back to me.
Question, why has your team gone to Amazon, Hulu? There's other like people that are doing actively pursuing comedy right now.
Yeah, I don't want
Hulu specifically.
I know Hulu is, but I don't want to do that.
All right. Well, you're fucking brilliant, Jay. You don't need anybody else. So we do shit ourselves, baby boy. This isn't...
Who needs anybody?
You don't need fucking Netflix to be successful. You're doing it all by yourself, and that's the best way to do things.
True.
Is traffic adding up for Philly? Anyway.
Oh, Big J, is it really?
Boy.
Yeah, so Big J comedy.com for all those dates. Listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly and America's favorite new game show obsession, Story Wars, right here on the Gas Digital Network. Should we bring up any? Oh, that bring up that video, Natalie, if you could. Yeah, that's a long video, but you can see. I'll see from the thumbnails when you go down, like where. I mean, you should get all that. Go back.
Start from the beginning.
Hold on. Before you start it, Natalie, I just want to. I know this isn't where the video is going, but what type of a fucking perverted person are you? I want to know right now. Just in writing, it does sound like the dad is going like, oh, so what, you just fuck kids? You probably fuck the kid and the dad, right? You probably fuck the two of them together, huh?
No, it also kind of sounds like emo lyrics. Yeah.
What type of perverted person are you?
I want to know right now.
Skip ahead a little bit, Natalie, because it's gonna do this thing where it shows this and explains it all. But just no. I mean, literally, maybe like less than a minute when it starts showing the pictures is when I would play it.
Natalie, I'm so sorry if you back up
a little bit because I like this because I want you to hear her voice. He has her on the phone.
This is the teacher right here.
Yeah, here's perfect. That'll be right there. And it's just so funny. She is just like doing that, like. I don't know what you're talking about, but can we just like meet somewhere and talk about this? Like, if you didn't know what someone was talking about with that accusation, you'd be like, fuck right off. Like, what are you talking about? Not going like, I don't even know why you're saying this or what this is about, but like, why don't we meet somewhere and talk about this with some money, maybe?
Go ahead, play it.
Before.
Yes.
What type of perverted person are you? I want to know right now. You are a monster. You're a child. Do you understand me?
No. Why do you say that?
Oh, see, I'm a lot smarter than you. I'm so much smarter than you. You do not understand how much smarter than you I am. I got you. I want you to know that now. I got you. Do me a favor. Do not call this number back again. The next time you'll hear from me will be in court. I am coming for you.
So is your son.
Believe me, okay, you stupid.
Can you explain to me, to talk about this? Is there something we can settle out, outside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what we can do so I can give you a chance to do it to some other kid. Yeah, that's exactly what we're
doing. And when you put it that way, it's really fucking hot.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir, I'm going to come.
It's great. He's like, I'm going to go. But she has some dude so simped up on her. It's great. This guy, it's the husband. It's appalling that this guy is willing to defend in his dumb fucking wife.
You keep playing it. This is great. We should have done this earlier in the show. I
you understand me. Make sure you tell your husband this. What's going on.
He's right here. Can he talk to you?
Oh, yeah. Put your husband on the phone. I'm more than happy to talk to that dumb mother,
too. Was it? That's crazy that she's like, he's standing right here. He's a real bitch. Here, honey, tell him.
Well, I think what is, I think she has told him that, like, she got caught up. She's such a good teacher that she just got caught up with this kid, and they started having inappropriate texts only.
Just text. Oh,
I see. He's such a dumb simp. He's just like, yeah, watch how he, this guy is pathetic.
My son is a year away from being 13. This is crazy.
Stepson's phone to a tracking app. When she noticed the name of the person on those messages, she was horrified to discover it was none other than her son's sixth grade teacher, Brittany Zamora. Alarmed, she immediately informed her husband, John. When John confronts Brittany, her husband, Daniel, rushes to her defense, utterly unaware of the devastating truth that lies beneath the surface.
Hey, don't say hey, man, to me. You got a monster. If I was you, you stupid mother, I'd leave her.
Pause it.
No, listen to me, you stupid mother.
You catch more flies with honey, you know? I feel I get that your son got his dick sucked by a hot woman. But I hate to say it, it's a hack thing to say. Your daughter didn't get molested by some big fat dude at school.
Yeah.
Your son.
Yeah, come on, Lewis. I mean, listen, it's better than that, but you got a little 13-year-old dude. If someone did.
I have an 11-year-old.
Or whatever. I'm saying you're close enough. It's pretty fucked.
It's crazy fucked. But what I'm saying is, I don't know that I'd be this pissed. I really mean that.
Really?
Here's the thing, because I just feel like
I'm not pretending they're the same thing. I'm not saying it's the same.
This
thing
is the energy, like, that I'd have if my daughter was molested. I would just, it would be more like, hey, we're gonna seek the authorities. This is crazy. He's gonna have to go to maybe see a therapist. I don't know, man. He's gonna have to go to fucking.
I think if it's your daughter getting molested, you're more likely to go try to do something fucking wildly violent. I think this is about the level of this, because you're right. It is, like, this guy knows his son's a fucking boy. You know what I mean? But
you just, son's trying to get laid at this age.
The point of all this,
regardless of that, you still stole some innocence from, like, my kid's childhood. That would drive me crazy. I mean, I might do violent shit over this. So I think this guy's handling it.
But the humor of it,
understandably.
Yeah, I think this guy handles it right. But, like, the humor of all this is when it will cut to the juxtaposition of, like, when you hear the kid telling the story. Like, well, he was like, oh, thank God this is out in the open. I've been dying to tell people this.
Yeah, no. Well, that's sort of like it. And maybe, I guess, faced with it in the moment, maybe I would.
Right. That's what I mean. I understand.
But as I'm kind of just thinking about it, I'm going, like, forget it being his teacher. If my son at 13 lost his virginity to an adult woman, would I be that viscerally angry? I just would go, like, I was like, yeah, you probably should have waited. Like, it's almost like a conversation between, like, me and my son, and I would be, like, disappointed, and, like, but I wouldn't be like, you were molested, you were fucking, like.
Oh, no, I don't think it's a freak out like that, but I mean.
Maybe I just have to be faced with that.
But this lady is that lady is.
No, it's bonkers. Obviously it's bonkers. I'm just saying, like, he seems so, like, angry. Like, I would see a mom getting, like, that angry. It's like but it's just almost like, maybe I'm also thinking back when I was 13. I was just trying to get laid at 13.
The thing about it is, the thing is, like, I really do think 13 is very young. But I do think, like, us, the way we were as kids at 15, I don't think it would have been traumatic at all.
No, not at all.
Like, it just would have been fine. Our boys are just, they grow up in a different world.
You're right.
Than what we are. It's just a different thing. Like, you're robbing their innocence. He doesn't have to be thinking about this yet or even introduced to this world yet.
No,
I would get real angry about it.
Yeah, the action is is obviously, like, the most, like, absurd fucking crazy thing. But, like, also there's something more, like, as the texts and stuff and then back and forth go on and on, it's like, why are you talking to a fucking little boy like
that? No, she's sick, like, actually, like, has a her texts mental
are
disorder.
Her texts, you know, she's like doesn't even hide it. Like, there's videos in here of her, like, smiling at him in school and stuff and being playful. They were already warned in school that he couldn't not go to recess just to hang out with her because the kids were starting rumors.
Whoa.
So they've already been warned to, like, stay
away. Well, that's the thing. She's genuinely, like, if you're, like, she's fuck like sick in the fucking head like that.
Yeah, and, it's what, and like a predator, what, like
yeah, a predator, and it's what turns her on. It's like yeah. It's so like yes, that side of it for sure. I'm just saying, like as I'm listening to the dad, he's like
stop being such a homo, man.
Just gets better.
That is, Lewis is just, you're seeing how much he's ruled by bro code.
Like, I'm just saying, no, like it was my, I would press charges and I'd be upset and I'd give her a talking to. But I mean, calm the anger down, buddy. What are you, gay?
No, Natalie, go back to the argument on the phone. Because like,
Lewis would be like, all right, yeah, if you want to meet up somewhere, we can. Are you looking for like just cocktails or you want a full meal? I want to see
all this video. Damn it, I wish we had more time.
Hey, don't say hey man to me, you got a monster. If I was you, you stupid mother, I'd leave her.
Man, listen.
No, listen to me, you stupid mother. Okay, if you're stupid, hey, do you want to stop up with my hands on? You're a stupid mother. You know that? You dumb mother. You dumb.
Dad starts walking around with a knife at one point.
God preaches forgiveness, man.
Yeah, I'm a priest forgiveness when I put my hands on your throat, you stupid mother.
Yeah. See, now I also kind of understand, like, if you listen to this,
I love being
what's going on is he's like, now he's got a man. This happens to all of us. Like, you're talking to some chick or, you know, Dave, I've watched, we've had stories about this specifically, but you're talking shit to some chick. You're like, I can't hit her. And then the second a guy gets in there, you're like, oh, thank God. Because now I can fucking.
Yeah. Hey, sir, with no context, you're my enemy.
I love just being so angry that your shit talking doesn't even make sense, but it's just anger coming out. Like, because right away,
motherfucker,
like,
motherfucker.
Nobody goes like, he goes, hey, God preaches forgiveness. He goes, I'll preach forgiveness when I have my hands around your throat. And you're like, yeah. Well, that's not really what you're trying to say at all, sir, right. But
you're going to be forgiving my foot in your ass.
What? Like,
huh?
Oh, man. Keep playing it.
Listen to me. I am not going to settle outside of court. There's not enough money you can. And possibly ask and offer me to settle this. Get that through your head. Your woman is a monster. Hey, you want me to tell you the whole story? She had another 13-year-old in there watching the whole thing. She's a monster.
Soon Daniel is going to face a rude shock, one that will impact not only him, but the entire community.
His wife is the greatest whore ever.
Great.
I've never heard of anything like this in my entire life, but I'm sure as a parent, you gotta be livid, pissed, downright hurt.
Stab this
morning. You trust the system. And honestly, this sucks as a husband. As a husband, I am distraught.
This guy sucks.
I understand. And I'm sure as a husband, you know how this, I mean, what this would do to you.
Well, dude, see, the thing is, I don't get with the monster.
I know, God, it's the worst for me. I'm pretty much throwing up. She's confided in me and told me just now all the truth, and it's man, I'm shaking. I mean,
well, explain to me what she's told you.
As a man, I can't really.
No, I want to know. You said she confided in you. Let me know what she told you, so I can tell you she told you everything. Let me know if she told you everything. Grab some nuts and talk to me like a man. What the? Did she tell you she did to a 13-year-old boy?
Wow.
To be honest, it's more of just the messaging. And
oh, so she didn't tell you everything then. Oh, man.
So
this rules.
So get past this now.
Yo, I can't believe this.
We're going to literally have to continue this. Because I have to leave in 15. We're going to have to continue this. As an ongoing saga for the Friday night.
We might
be
able to get it in 15 minutes.
No, there's 30 minutes of video left, and we
have 30 minutes left.
No, but we're doing a big jump here to the kid talking. There's not much more to that.
Okay.
And well, I want to hear right now.
I want to hear what he says. I have to finish this.
What point in the video approximately?
Right here.
No, right here.
Don't move. Keep it where we're at. Keep it right where we're at.
I mean, I'm hearing it from you, sir. I'm hearing it from you.
Well, you ain't going to hear nothing else from me. No.
Despite the horrid details that John reveals to Daniel, he comes up with a proposition that only escalates matters.
So what I'm asking you is if you could possibly, I mean, just Brittany has been a great teacher for a long time. 5 years, she's done so much for so many students.
Five years is not that long.
From the ghetto, she's been to you know, parents' homes to talk
this
to.
This is crazy.
She's done a tutoring program. She's
dude, it's so, such a wild thing to claim. She's gone above and beyond to spend time with the kids.
Buddy,
she comes and visits them at their house.
When they have the cops talking to this guy, I guess they're going in his house. They're searching his house. He's outside talking to the cops, and he's talking to the cops. He's still doing it. He goes, she's great, man. She just cares too much. That's the problem. You know, she won Teacher of the Year. He just keeps giving all her fucking accolades.
Well, I mean, it's not really wrong. She does care over the line.
A huge mistake. The biggest mistake of anybody could ever make in the whole entire world. But she got invested in a very, very, very bright, smart, and great student, honestly, and a great person. And probably comes from y'all, honestly. And I
get it. You know the only mistake she made? Caring too much.
And I wouldn't want to hear my voice.
She's too good.
I hear your voice when I got hands around your throat. Your wife decided to be a monster and prey on a child. She scarred my son mentally. Do you understand what a 13-year-old boy did? Do you get that at all?
What Daniel Zamora does not know yet is that earlier that afternoon, the boy confessed to his parents that not only had he and his teacher been exchanging explicit text messages, but Brittany had been sexually assaulting him on more than one occasion. However, this appalling information still doesn't reveal the full extent of this devastating deal.
What would you say happened? So I, as a husband, man, I want to know.
Bro, let me just tell you something. I'm not going to go any further because I need to make sure that you guys understand one thing, is that the lawyers will tell you everything that happened. But I'm trying to warn you, my man. What I'm trying to warn you, my man, is you don't get yourself involved, brother. Don't do that.
Man, that's not what a real man would do.
Well, then look, I'm just going to tell you right now, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you before I hang up on you. Don't waste your time calling me back right now. But what I am going to tell you is, stay by her, bro. Do that. Your mom, your mom, her dad, everybody's going to know what this sick did. Everybody. You have a wonderful evening.
Down to the back. The thing, so I can like see, get like the thumbnail so I can tell you.
So he doesn't actually tell him.
No, so this is worthless. That's them going, asking about the phone. That's them arresting her. This is them talking. Oh, wait, go back. Anything where it's that? No, go back. Anytime where it's like that blur is the kid talking. So, yeah, right there.
He'd been favoring the victim. However, while some students complained he was getting more attention than they were, others had an intuition that there was more to this behavior. In a later interview at the Southwest Family Advocacy Center, the victim's best friend and witness then sheds more light on the rumors that
had been boring. Get past this. I'm sorry. It's not that. Where did he start talking to him? Wait. Go back to that. That's the guy outside with the cops. Go to that.
The following day, after the completion of this interview, Principal Dickey called the officers again to report that the substitute teacher appointed for Brittany's class had discovered some notes in a cupboard that Brittany and the victim had written to each other. With more
retard, by the details way.
Revealed in these notes, police execute a search warrant issued on Brittany's house and vehicle. During this search, Daniel once again tries to defend his wife.
You guys have no kids, right?
Son. It's a nice neighborhood. Oh, what a fucking nightmare, dude. You're like a dude. He's probably like a dentist or something. You got like a nice house. Oh. You got like fucking, you just married a fucking monster.
Yeah, it's like the guy who almost got murdered by his chick. Yeah. So he's like, yeah. Well, yeah, watch what he says. Back it up two seconds.
Why do you wish you had kids now? Son, I wish now. Why do you wish you had kids now? Also, I can have, you know, some, I don't know all of what's going to happen right here. You know, so. Just have a little more pieces of her.
That's insane. Whoa.
For a long time, watching her be good. Really? All through high school, college, her bachelor's degree, and her master's.
I mean, he's insane, this guy.
2 years ago, I believe, I was in elementary. Yeah, that was. He's been doing so many good things for so long. For the students, the school, he's been really invested.
With several statements pointing in Brittany's direction, police now turn to the victim and the witness to record the unsettling details they're about to share. After seeking consent from the parents, officials begin to interview the victim.
I was texting my teacher on classcraft because she made it enough into the class to show them we have school and for us to text her because she'll be bored. So she said to like text her so she wouldn't be bored. And I said, I'm Samara. And then she texted back, hi. And then we just like started texting. I can't remember all we texted. But then she was like, would it be weird if I sent you a winky face? I was like, no.
She kept describing this childlike conversation.
Oh, God.
And then we kept texting. And I don't remember all we texted. But I was in my room. And she said, and she's like, I was bored. She said, I'm bored. I was like, I said, LOL, I am too. And then she's like, and she said, come over. And I said, on my way. They like put the car in. I was like, JK. And then we were talking about a school dance. And she said, are you going to come? And I was like, I don't think so. I might, though. And she's like, oh, salty bae. And she called herself like bae. And I was like, and I just like brushed off. I was like, LOL. Yeah, we would flirt a lot. Like, and we would like be at recess and I would talk to her. And we would flirt at recess. And then our principal said that we couldn't do that. We couldn't talk at recess no more, that I needed to go hang out because other kids are getting like jealous that I was talking to her and not them. And so I stopped talking to her at recess. And then I would just keep texting. I would text her.
When does the flirting begin?
Like, the first time she flirted with me was a time where, like, she, like, said, well, like, what do we wear? You sent a winky face. And she's like, come over. Tell her school and everything. That's the first time she ever flirted with me.
I mean, the fact that she tells all the kids to text her in general is crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like she was, like, fishing for that in general. Like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, she wanted to start us a relationship with a boy.
Yeah.
But this kid, every time he talks, when he starts getting into it more, he's like, yeah, we go behind the desk. It was whatever.
She was dog whistling for boycock.
Oh, yeah. What a legend.
What a fucking...
Christmas or something else?
I just think it was poor because she said that it would suck for Christmas break because she wouldn't be able to see me.
The victim continues to describe how things escalated from there when he snuck out from his grandparents' home to meet with Brittany one night, and it was far more disturbing than anyone ever predicted.
Hey, Samara.
The interviewer broaches over the more unsettling subjects and makes notes of the events leading up to that revolting act. It wouldn't be long after this that Brittany began making distressing advances on the young boy in the most innocent setting.
Where in the classroom exactly were you at when that happened?
Agnes.
At her desk. Is there another time when something happened?
Yeah, she's done that a couple times, but I can't remember every time. That was just like the first time.
As the 11-year-old witness begins his interview, it is tragically obvious that given his age, he does not understand everything that he has witnessed.
I was one of the witnesses, or one of the people that saw Ms. Zamora.
That's him. He's in there.
Oh, this is the 11-year-old boy?
Yeah, he's just kind of like, and it's bad, and she's a bad person.
Friend, one night, I wasn't there, though. Told me that because he was at his grandparents' house and he snuck out like at 12 or 11 and he went in the car like 3 weeks ago or a month ago.
Did you see them texting? Did you see with your own eyes them texting every day?
Yeah, he did show me messages and like he said, oh, me and Jamar are texting. Yeah, so I saw with my own eyes.
So tell me everything about the messages. What did they say?
They were just flirting.
So what do you mean they were flirting?
Like, they're texting dirty stuff. Like on Instagram, they text dirty stuff. Every day.
Honestly. If you guys want to re-explore this, we can.
Yeah, no, this is fucking wild.
Yeah, this but I thought we're just kind of watching it.
Yeah.
We're drinking the whole thing in, getting
well,
all.
We need almost up. Like maybe let Alex or Mike like actually edit it up to like.
Yeah, to put like some like the important parts. Yeah. But the. Yeah, she gets like fucking like you'd be surprised what the fucking penalty is for that.
What's the penalty?
I think she gets 20 years.
She actually gets convicted in this whole saga.
Yeah.
20 years. Wow. For 13-year-old dick.
Hope it was worth it, bitch.
She goes, I have to go
into jail for the entire lifetime of two boyfriends?
That's two penises worth of time.
What would you give her if you're the judge? Not your kid, Dave. Stop thinking it through the fucking the lens of it being your kid.
I don't think 20 years.
What
would I do?
I'd give a teacher of the year again.
20 years plus another teacher of the year award.
20 years.
I'm okay with 20 years. I don't know. I don't know exactly what you should get. It should be something like, I wouldn't like, if she got 10 years, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, she only got like, okay, it's about that.
You're a pariah the rest of your life, no matter what. You're going to be on the sex registry, so you have to let everyone.
It's just something so like it's such a double, because if it's a girl, if it's a 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl, I think this guy should be killed.
Yeah,
isn't that wild? Like, and then I'm going like, if they gave her 7 years,
I don't think it's wild though. Because it is. It's a very different thing to do. It's still fucking awful, but it's just a very different. It's so much worse for a grown man to go after a 13-year-old girl. But that being said, anything where you go after a child, and we're not talking about anything debatable here. This isn't 17, but the rule says 18.
Right.
I'm talking about going after a 13-year-old. I don't really have a problem with there being like severe punishments for going after kids. So I'm okay with 20 years.
All right. Convicted. Sick. Convicted, buddy.
In state court. Convicted.
Always a fun time hanging out with you boys on the Friday Night Hang exclusively here on GasDigital.com. Tell your friends. Sign up for Gas Digital and you get to watch this show every week.
Hell yeah.
The old school Legion of Skanks format, everybody. Thank you for joining us and we'll catch you next week from our live episode. Until then, everybody, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
If you suck it, I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
You must be fucking over, Lewis.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you're trying to watch a retard draw swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.